I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel of John, John chapter 18. I'm going to get out ahead of Dr. MacArthur just a little bit. He's in chapter 10, and you'll be here in about 7 years. So John chapter 18. What I want to talk to you today about is, what is truth? John chapter 18, I want to begin in verse 36. My eye is on the middle of verse 38, but I want to begin reading in verse 36. The setting is our Lord standing before Pilate. Jesus will endure six trials, three religious and three civil trials, the day before he is crucified, or the night before he is crucified. And he now comes to his final interrogation by Pilate, who has been placed here by Rome. We read in verse 36, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting, so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm." Therefore, Pilate said to him, "So you are a king." Jesus answered, "You say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate then said to him, "What is truth?" This is the age-long question that is voiced by Pilate when he stood before the Lord Jesus Christ. What is truth? This is not an honest inquiry by Pilate as he is desiring to know what truth is. No, this is a defiant denunciation of it. It was spoken with a tone of derision and contempt. This terse response was asserted mockingly by Pilate. It was a dismissive chide, a dripping with sarcasm. It was a caustic rebuttal intended to belittle the Lord Jesus Christ himself. What is truth? This is a barbed jab intended to deflate and to denigrate any thought that anyone can know what is truth. And Pilate rejected the very idea of truth, and he rejected that there is any such thing as an exclusive truth claim. In fact, Pilate repudiated any possibility that anyone could know the truth. This mocking question, what is truth, is the malignant mantra of our day. The spirit of Pilate lives with us. The spirit of Pilate lives on our college campuses with professors and students who are mocking the truth. The spirit of Pilate sits in the halls of our government. The spirit of Pilate legislates our moral code. It reigns in our media. It teaches in many seminaries. It stands in many pulpits. We live in a culture in which there has been a total repudiation of the very notion of truth. We live in a day that is a-truth, anti-truth. The only truth there is today, supposedly, is that there is no exclusive truth. And so today, I want us to look at this passage, and I want us to consider this important subject of the truth. The word truth is mentioned three times in the verses that I just read. You'll note it is mentioned twice in verse 37. It is mentioned once in verse 38. This little tight section is about the truth. And there are three main headings that I want to set before you, and you need to know what the truth is, and you need to have deep convictions in the truth. The person who will not stand for anything is so vulnerable these days. I want you to note three things. I want you to see the rejection of truth. We see that in verse 38. Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" That is a stiff arm of truth. That is a total denial of truth, the rejection of truth. And then second, I want you to see the reality of truth. In verse 37, Jesus said, "I have come into the world to testify to the truth." And there are several reasons why Jesus came. The foremost is to be the Savior of sinners, to be lifted up upon the cross, and to bear the sins of His people. But there were also other subordinate reasons why He came, and this is among those of most importance. It is to testify to the truth. That's the reality of truth. And then third, I want us to see the reception of truth. At the end of verse 37, Jesus says, "Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." So let's begin with the rejection of truth. This is where Pilate is, and he represents the culture in which you and I live. He represents the antagonistic society in which we find ourselves. And notice in verse 38, Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" This in reality is the mother sin, namely the rejection of the truth of God. This is where Pilate is. He is standing face to face with truth incarnate, and he rejects truth in its very presence. This is where sin begins. It begins with a repudiation of the truth. In Romans chapter 1, as Paul begins his extraordinary presentation of the gospel, he begins in Romans 1, verse 18, by making this statement, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." To suppress the truth means to hold it under, to put it away, to discard it. And then in verse 25 of Romans 1, it says, "They exchanged the truth of God for a lie." And that begins the downward spiral of really any society and any culture. It is when you exchange the truth for a lie. This is the demise of anyone's life, when they hear the truth and they walk away from the truth. It is the destruction of any society. It is the departure of any denomination. It all begins with the rejection of the truth. And this is exactly the point of attack that Satan launched in Genesis chapter 3, when he slithered onto the page of human history and he said to Eve, "Indeed has God said?" It was a frontal attack on the truth of God. Nowhere is this abandonment of truth more clearly seen today than on college campuses. The fact is, a recent survey has shown that the younger a person is, the more they are apt to deny the truth. Two national surveys have been recently conducted, one with adults, the other with older teenagers. And the results are staggering. Of adults 36 years and older, 64% said that there is no such thing as moral absolutes or truth. Adults 18 to 36, meaning younger than 36 years of age or older, the figure rose to 75% rejected any notion of truth. But when you drop down to teenagers 18 or 19 years old, the number escalated to 83% of today's young people deny that there is any such thing as absolute truth. In other words, the younger you are, the more likely you are to reject any notion of absolute truth. Years ago, there was a very popular book written by a professor at Notre Dame, Alan Bloom, entitled The Closing of the American Mind. And in this book, Bloom said that 95% of all entering college students are avowed relativists who reject any notion of unchanging absolute truth. And by the time they graduate, he estimates that the number increases from 95% to 97%, rejecting any notion of exclusive truth whatsoever. One philosopher has said that we are raising a generation of moral stutterers. In other words, they are not definitive on what is right and what is wrong. Others have called it moral illiteracy. Yet another says there is a hole in our moral ozone. The only absolute today seems to be that there are no absolutes. The only truth is that there is no truth. The only tolerance is there is no tolerance for those who claim to hold to truth. All this gives mounting, escalating popularity in our culture today to the approval of abortion, homosexuality, lesbianism, pornography, and all kinds of lewdness. And it all begins with the rejection of truth. And that is what Pilate is saying, and that is what so many are saying today. But I want you to note, second, the reality of truth. Because in verse 37, Jesus said, I have come into the world to testify to the truth. When Jesus says this, he is saying that one of the fundamental purposes for which he has come in the incarnation is that he might bear witness to the truth. This word testify means to bear witness as in a court of law. And Jesus, who is the truth, has come to reveal the truth. Now, the question is, what is truth? In one word, truth is reality. Truth is the way things really are. Truth is that which conforms, which corresponds to reality. It's not how things may appear to be. It is not how we want things to be. It is not what most people say it is. Truth is not what the opinion polls reveal that most people think. Truth is how things really are. And so I want us to think now for a moment under the reality of truth. I want to give you some words to help define what truth is. I want to give you 8 words to lay out before you that will serve to bring truth into focus. And number one, truth is divine truth. A truth does not come from this world. A truth does not arise from the culture or from the society. A truth does not come from ABC, NBC, or CBS. A truth does not come from Hollywood or Wall Street or Pennsylvania Avenue. A truth must come down from above. Truth must come down from another world. Truth must come from God Himself. God is the author of all truth. God is the source of all truth. God is the determiner of all truth. Truth is whatever God says something is. God is the governor of truth, the arbitrator of truth. He is the ultimate standard of truth. He is the final judge of truth. In fact, God Himself is truth. In Psalm 31, in verse 5, we read that He is the God of truth. And Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am the way and the truth and the life. Which is to say, you cannot be on the way without the truth, and you cannot have the life without the truth. Ephesians 4, verse 21, Paul writes, truth is in Jesus. In other words, there is not a drop of truth outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. All truth is in Christ. And the Holy Spirit in John 14, 17 is the Spirit of truth. John 15, 26, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. So also John 16, 13. Truth, we could say, is the self-expression of God Himself. Truth is everything that is consistent with the mind of God, everything that is in alignment with the character of God, everything that is consistent with the will of God and with the being of God. As I said earlier, truth is whatever God says something is. Sin is whatever God says it is. Salvation is whatever God says salvation is. A judgment is whatever God says it is. Heaven and hell is whatever God says that it is. The family is whatever God says it is. Morality is whatever God says it is. Romans 3, verse 4 says, let God be found true, though every man be found a liar. 1 ounce of what God has to say is worth more than 10 million tons of what any man has to say. So number one, truth is divine truth. Second, it is absolute truth. When we say absolute truth, we mean that it is perfect. It is without limits. It is consummate. It is free from imperfection. It is complete. It is perfect. It is unadulterated. It is pure. Truth is absolute truth. And when you see in verse 37, when Jesus speaks of truth, He always uses the definite article in front of the word truth. The truth. Jesus never speaks of a truth, but only the truth, meaning truth is exclusive. It is never inclusive. A truth is discriminating. A truth excludes all that is not true. Everything that is outside of truth is a lie. Everything that is inside the truth is true. A truth is never either or it's never both and, it is always either or. Truth is never relative. Truth is never arbitrary. Truth is never conditional. A truth is absolute. Whatever contradicts biblical truth is, by definition, false, and therefore an error, and therefore a lie. Jesus said in John 8, verse 44, you are of your father the devil. He does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of all lies. No, truth is the first word on any subject, on any matter. Truth is the last word on any subject, on any matter. And truth is everything in between. Everything in life is measured by the truth. Everything in life is defined by the truth. And all else is a falsehood and is a lie. Third, not only is truth divine and absolute, but third, truth is objective. That is to say, truth is propositional. It is conveyed in clearly defined words and words that have meaning. A truth is not a feeling. Truth is a fact that is verified by God. Therefore, truth is conveyed in words that have specific, definable meaning. Truth is black and white. Truth is concrete. Truth is narrowly defined by God's word. Truth is cognitive. Truth is, according to 2 Timothy 2:15, it is found in the word of truth. Psalm 119, verse 160, your word is truth. Galatians 2, verse 5, the Bible is the truth of the gospel. A truth is found in specific words that has specific meaning as they are spoken by God and contained in His Word. It is true regardless of how anyone feels about it. It is true whether it speaks subjectively to anyone's inner person. And truth is never vague. Truth is never fuzzy. Truth is razor sharp, like a surgeon's scalpel. Truth is a laser beam. It is explicit. It is exact. It is clear cut in its meaning. Truth never stutters. Truth never mumbles. Truth tells it like it is. Truth puts it out there. If there's any trouble with truth, it is not in understanding what it says by what it means, or what it means by what it says. The only problem with truth at times for us is to swallow it. Fourth, truth is singular. When we say truth is singular, we mean it all fits together. It is one body of truth. It is one system of truth. Francis Schaeffer said years ago, Christianity is not a series of truths in the plural, but rather it is truth spelled out with a capital T. It is only one truth because it all holds together. Truth never contradicts itself. Truth never speaks out of both sides of its mouth. Truth never says one thing to one group, then something else to another group. No, truth is singular. James Montgomery Boyce states, truth is singular. It is not in fragments that would require us to speak of truths in the sense of unrelated facts or items. Truth holds together, both Boyce writes. Therefore, there is no phase of truth that is not related to every other phase of truth. Close quote. In other words, it's like a beautiful tapestry with many threads running through it, yet they all come together perfectly in place to convey and to represent one plan of salvation, one history of redemption, one diagnosis of man's problem, one solution to man's problem, one remedy unto eternal life. Everything comes together when truth speaks. A truth presents one worldview. It presents one way to look at the world. There are not many different ways to size things up. A truth speaks with one voice. Tell me what you believe about one truth, and I will tell you what you believe about 20 other truths. Because truth is never disconnected from another truth. It all fits together. Listen, when you pull a thread in the book of Genesis, Revelation crinkles. There's threads running all through the Bible, and it all hangs together, and it speaks with one statement of reality. Number five, truth is immutable. That is to say, truth never changes. What was true when I was a young person is true today, will be true 10,000 years from today. What is true today was true 500 years ago. It was true 1,000 years ago. It was true 2,000 years ago. Truth never changes. Truth is fixed. Truth is established. Truth is constant. Truth is timeless. Truth is transcendent over the generations. Truth is unvarying. Because God does not change, neither does truth change. Truth is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Right is always right. Wrong is always wrong. Society may try to redefine morality. Culture may try to reclassify what is right and what is wrong. But God's truth never changes. Therefore, truth is eternal. Truth is transcendent. Truth is everlasting. We could say this, new truth is old heresy. If it is new, it is not true. Psalm 119, verse 89. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. There are no additions to the word of God. There are no subtractions from the word of God. God's truth stands firm from age to age, forever the same. Isaiah 40, verse 8. The grass withers, the flower fades away, but the word of our God stands forever. After I graduated from college, I entered into law school. I thought I wanted to be a lawyer. I studied law. And for the whole first semester, I studied case law, constitutional law, civil law. I stayed up nights memorizing the law. My entire grade was the final exam. And I remember by the time the final exam came in December, they had changed the laws that I had memorized. And I thought, this makes no sense to me that I have poured my heart and soul and life into learning and memorizing a law that is constantly changing. And it was part of what God used in my life to redirect my life to study a law that is divine, that is absolute, that is immutable, that never changes. That when I study the Bible, when I study the Word of God, I have it for the rest of my life. And no matter where I go, no matter what the circumstance I find myself in, truth is immutable. Jesus said in Matthew 5 and verse 18, "For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass from the law until all is accomplished." In Luke 16, verse 17, "It is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one stroke of a letter of the law to fail." What Jesus is saying is that truth never changes. Truth is always contemporary. It is always up to date. It is always relevant. It always speaks to the issues of every generation. It is never outdated. It never is no longer valid or of use. A truth, in fact, is more up to date than tomorrow's newspaper. It is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. Truth is the current word that God has to say on any subject. It is never archaic. It is never outdated. Do you want to attend a contemporary church? Then find a church that preaches the Bible, because there is nothing more relevant and nothing more up-to-date and nothing more contemporary than the Word of God. Now, I want to give you a sixth word concerning what truth is. And not only is truth immutable, but truth is authoritative. That is to say, truth is sovereign. Truth makes assertive demands upon us. A truth has the right to rule our lives. A truth is never just interesting. A truth is never something to salve our curiosity. A truth necessitates something from us. A truth is demanding. Truth is commanding. The life of every person is defined by our relationship to the truth. You tell me your relationship to the truth, and I'll tell you who you are and what you are. You cannot be satisfied without the truth. You cannot be saved without the truth. You cannot be sanctified without the truth. You cannot get there from here without the truth. The truth has the full weight of God's own authority behind it. When the truth speaks, God speaks. When the truth commands, God commands. Truth is authoritative. Truth is imperative. Truth speaks to us with the very authority of God Himself. Number 7, truth is powerful. And there is nothing more powerful than the truth. Truth convicts. Truth converts. Truth saves. Truth judges. Truth damns. Truth sanctifies. Truth comforts. Truth cheers. Truth is so powerful that I want to say again, no one can be saved apart from the truth. No one can be satisfied or full of joy without the truth. No one can be conformed into the image of Christ without the truth. And it will be the truth on the last day by which we will be measured. Now, the 8th word is determinative. Truth determines your relationship with God. Truth defines your life here. It is determinative. Truth will determine where you will spend eternity. Truth will determine whether you are in heaven or in hell. Truth will have the final say on every aspect of your life. John MacArthur has written this: authentic Christianity is concerned first and foremost with truth. The Christian faith, MacArthur writes, is not primarily about feelings, although deep feelings will surely result from the impact of truth on our hearts. It is not about human relationships, even though relationships are the main focus in many of today's evangelical pulpits. It's not about success and earthly blessings, no matter how much one might get that impression from watching Christian television. Biblical Christianity, MacArthur writes, is all about truth. God's objective revelation, the Bible interpreted rationally, yields divine truth in perfectly sufficient measure. Everything we need to know for life and godliness is here in the Scripture. God wrote only one book, the Bible. It contains all the truth by which He intended us to have in order to live our spiritual lives. Scripture, MacArthur concludes, is holy truth. It is the highest standard of all truth. It is the rule by which all truth claims must be measured. Every one of us in this room today desperately needs the truth. The truth is the rudder of the ship that is to direct our lives. Truth is the steering wheel that can alone direct us and lead us into the will of God. Truth is that which is our most precious commodity. There is, Jesus said, the reality of truth. Now, finally, I want you to see the reception of truth in verse 37. Why does not everyone receive the truth? Why doesn't everyone believe the truth? Why do some people reject the truth? Why do only a few relatively receive it? Look what Jesus says at the end of verse 37, and we have the answer. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. To be of the truth means to be sovereignly regenerated by the truth. It means to be birthed by the truth into the spiritual kingdom of God. To be of the truth means you are a believer in the truth. You have been made a believer by the Holy Spirit. You belong to the truth. You are owned by the truth. You are under the truth. Your loyalty is to the truth. Your allegiance is to the truth. That is what it means to be of the truth. It means that the Holy Spirit has shined His light into your once darkened heart, and you now are able to see the truth. It is a work of God in the darkness of your own human mind. To be of the truth means that the Holy Spirit has illuminated your understanding, and you are enabled by God to see the truth, enabled by God to hear the truth, because without the work of the Holy Spirit, we are spiritually deaf and we are spiritually blind. Now notice he says everyone, there are no exceptions. That is an all-inclusive statement. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. He's not talking about hearing an audible voice. It's much louder than that. He's talking about receiving the truth into your heart and to hear it with your spiritual ears and to see it with your spiritual eyes and to be made one who responds to the truth and who embraces the truth because you now are given ears to hear, you are given eyes to see, and by the sovereign grace of God, you are made to hear the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this tells us that when we have our Bibles, it is the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ that is coming through the pages of Scripture, and that we hear with spiritual ears what He is saying to us. John 10, verse 27, this morning, Dr. MacArthur preached on this verse, which says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." And so those who are of the truth hear my voice. I want to ask you, are you of the truth today? Are you one who has believed in the truth? Have you received the truth into your heart and into your life? Are you persuaded that the Bible is the word of truth? Is your allegiance to the truth? Is your loyalty to the truth? Surely the fact that you're here today would indicate that so many of you are of the truth. And when we are of the truth, we are those who hear the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ as He speaks through the truth of His Word. So let us take heart. In these days when the truth is so under attack, nevertheless, the truth remains. The truth endures. The truth is advancing. The truth can never be snuffed out. The truth is indomitable. The truth is triumphant. The truth is continuing to carry out God's work here upon the earth. The truth can never be snuffed out. The darkness can never extinguish the light. And the truth will continue to move forward in this generation just as it has in generations past. So as you find yourself in this ministry and in this church, and for many of you as you are on college campuses, make the truth your foundation. Make the truth the chief cornerstone of your life. Know that there are many pilots all around you who are saying, "What is truth?" Just know that those who are of the truth, they hear the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they are bound fast to the truth. And the truth is exactly what you need to govern your life and to help you make the decisions that you must make. As I bring this to a close, as you find yourself here today, if you have never believed the truth is that Jesus Christ has come into this world to save sinners, that He is the only way of salvation, that everyone born into this world is in desperate need of grace, in desperate need of salvation. And the truth is that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus, the truth is, was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless and perfect life. He went to the cross. He was lifted up to die. There he bore the sins of his people. He became our sin substitute upon the cross. He became a curse for us. And as he suffered and bled upon that cross, by the giving of his life and the shedding of his blood, he propitiated the righteous anger of God toward sinners. He reconciled holy God and sinful man in the blood of his cross. And by the giving of his life, he has redeemed sinners from the slave market of sin. He offers salvation as a free gift. And the truth is that we must repent and we must believe upon Jesus Christ. And if we will commit our life to Him and look to Him only and surrender our lives to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and receive Him as our own personal Lord and Savior, then the truth is you will be saved. Your sins will be forgiven. You will become a new creature in Christ. The old things passed away, and behold, new things have come. You will be one who will be on a new path now, the narrow path that leads to life. And one day when you die, the Lord will receive you to Himself, and you will spend all eternity with the Lord in heaven, around His throne of grace, with all the throngs of the multitudes of those who have believed the truth. But no one will ever find their way to heaven except they are made of the truth and have believed the truth and have received the truth. And so if you have never believed the truth about Christ, the truth about yourself, and the truth about salvation, I urge you today, this very moment, to receive the truth of the gospel, to receive the truth of the Word of God, and in so doing, to receive the Lord Jesus Christ Himself into your very heart of hearts. Everything outside the truth is a lie. Everything outside the truth will damn. Everything outside the truth condemns. But those who are in the truth and who are of the truth are those who hear the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ and are those who are saved and are those who will spend all eternity with the Lord. If you've never believed the truth, I would urge you this very moment today to commit your life to Jesus Christ, to surrender your life to Him, to throw yourself into His arms of mercy, and He will receive you. Him who comes unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Let us pray. Father, how we thank You that You have revealed the truth to us. Thank You that You are the truth. We praise You and worship You, that whenever You speak only the truth. You tell it like it is. You make known to us the reality about ourselves, about this world, about the world to come, about Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, except You reveal the truth to us, we could never know these things. I pray that You will make our hearts so receptive to the truth. And may we invest our lives, not in lies and not in falsehoods, but in that which is the truth. Lord, I pray that all in this room today will be of the truth and will be those who hear the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. If there be any outside the truth, like Pilate, who might say, "Ah, what is truth?" May You win their hearts over today, and may You bring them all the way to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank You that You have given us ears to hear and eyes to see the truth. May we cling to the truth and grow even deeper in the truth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.